Topic we're discussing today is drinking on Purim. Now, Mishteh means Mishteh Hayayin. Whenever it appears in Tanakh, it means Mishteh Hayayin. So Mishteh is one of the mitzvahs of Purim. The Megillah itself specifies, Lasos Osam Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha. And in this way, the days of Purim are remembered and celebrated. Vayamim o'ela niskarim v'nasim. So niskarim is, it's remembered through Kriyas HaMegillah. Nasim requires suda, simcha, or mishta. And what is unusual about the drinking of wine on Purim is that it seems to have an element that we don't find in other situations of simcha, and that is an element of shichrus, as to drink and become intoxicated, as the Gemara says, mechayev inish levsumei bepruya adlo yada bein arah haman levarach Mardechai. And Tosfos in Megillah points out, what is this referring to? This is referring to the fact that in the Talmud Yerushalmi it's mentioned that a person has to say, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, Azura Arur Zeresh Brucha Esther, Arurim Kol Rishon Bruchem Kol Yehudim. So the Gemara is referring to that, and the Gemara says, since there's an obligation to make such statements on Purim, therefore we can define the mitzvah of Mishteh, of Shichrus, in that way, and that one should drink until the point where he's lo yada bin ara harmon levarach Mordechai. Now, there are Rishonim that limit this, such as the Rambam, the Pesach of the Ramah is along these lines, but it doesn't mean that a person should drink to that extent where he literally can't distinguish between ara harmon levarach Mordechai, but he drinks till the point where he becomes sleepy and he falls asleep. And that in that way, he can't distinguish between ara harmon levarach Mordechai. Other mafarshim give other explanations that they reduce the level of shichrus. That Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, the Magen Avraham mentions this, have the same gematria, and therefore one should drink to the point where he can't really compute gematrias. The Taz says something different. The Taz says that in Purim we celebrate actually two nisim. We celebrate the downfall of Haman, which is Arur Haman, and the elevation of Mordechai, which was a nes in itself, and that brought great things for the Jewish people. And a person should drink to the point where he can't really focus on the two nisim, on the two aspects of the nes of Purim. But it's a little difficult to understand, and some of the Farshim asked this question, why would the Chachamim be misakin such a mitzvah? Why would the Chachamim be misakin such a mitzvah? Now, the fact is that there are Rishonim that say that this din of Chayav Inish Lev Sumei Bepurya Adelo Yada Bin Arur Haman Lemarach Mordechai does not really remain Lahalacha. That's the Shita of Rabbi Ephraim. And he explains the Gemara this way because the Gemara, in discussing Mishteh Purim, the Gemara mentions the strange story of Rabba of Rab Zera. So Rabbi Rav Zera, they celebrated the Sudas Purim together. And the Gemara says, and here it's crucial how you pronounce the word. Generally it's pronounced, Kam Rabba Shachte L'Rav Zera. So if you read it that way, it means that Rabba slaughtered, he shachted Rav Zera. He killed him. By being intoxicated from Yayin, he killed Rav Zera. And L'mochar Boy Rachmei V'Achye. So the following day, he was mispalo, he brought him back to life. And the following year, Rabba asked Rav Zera again, should we celebrate? And Rav Zera said no. He turned him down. He said, not every year does a miracle happen. The Meiri and the Marsha has a similar pshat, but it's somewhat different. But the Meiri refuses to read the Gemara in this way, Kam Rabba Shachte Rav Zera. He reads it Sachte. He squeezed him. In other words, he injured him. And then he was mispalo, and he was able to recuperate. But not that Rabba actually killed him. The Miri says that one can't read the Gemara that way. In any event, the shita of Rabbi Ephraim is that the Gemara is telling us this for a reason. Why is the Gemara telling us this story? The Gemara is telling it to us because the Gemara is saying that even though there is a statement of chayef inish levsume, but it's not a leave of the hilchasa. Well, halacha, one should not become intoxicated. Yes, there is a mitzvah mishnah. One drinks yayin in moderation, but to say that there's a mitzvah of shichras to become intoxicated, the Gemara is telling us the story to tell us that that halacha was rejected, and it's not a leave of the hilchasa. Okay, there is such a shita, but many of the poskim say that that's not so, even though the Gemara tells us the story, but the halacha still remains. So why is the Gemara telling us this story? So it seems from some of the Rishonim and later Achronim, the Gemara is telling us the story as a warning. In other words, yes, there is a mitzvah on some level of becoming intoxicated, whatever level that is, to drink to the point where you become tired and sleepy, according to the Rambam and the Rama, whether to some other level, according to others. But there's a certain warning here. And the Gemara is saying that one should not do this unless he knows that nothing inappropriate will result from his drinking. And that's why the Gemara is telling us this story. There's a warning contained in this story. It's interesting, we'll see the Lashon of some of the poskim and what they say in explaining this. So let's say the Me'iri on Maseches Megillah. The Me'iri says as follows. He says, Ein anu mitzuvim l'shtaker l'hafchas atzmenu mitoch ha-simcha shalom nitztavinu al simcha shal holos v'shal shtus al b'simcha shal tainug shiagio mitocha l'avas Hashem Yisbarach. So the Me'iri says, there's only a mitzvah of drinking if it brings a person to avas Hashem. It elevates his avas Hashem. But if it diminishes the person and degrades the person, then there's no mitzvah. Then it's an avera. Okay. Now, exactly what does this mean? How does drinking elevate a person avas Hashem under certain circumstances? That has to be understood. But this is the warning that the Me'iri sees in the Gemara, in the lesson of the story of Rabba and Rab Zera. You also have the Chai Adam. The Mishnah Brura mentions from the Chai Adam, and the Chai Adam also speaks of a certain warning. So the Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha mentions this, and he says as follows. It's interesting to see how he says it. V'zeh l'shon ha-Chai Adam. Kaven shekolan, he says, Kaven shekolan yayin, l'chein chivu chachamim l'hishtaker. U'lefachos lishtos yosem hergelo, to drink more than he usually drinks. K'de lizkar anes ha-gadol. V'omnam ha-yudea ba'atzmo, she yizalzal oz b'mitzvah na-mitzvah, t'il zedayim v'broch b'r samozen, o she yisbal mincho ma'yav, o she yina kalas rosh. So the Chayodim says, if a person is concerned that as a result of drinking, he'll mevatel any mitzvah, whether it's netilas yadayim, or birchas hamazon, or mincha, or ma'ariv, or he'll act with kalas rosh. Kalas rosh means with any lack of proper demeanor is considered to be kalas rosh. The Chai Adam's idea of Purim was interesting, that he felt that you have to be careful not to get involved in any kalas rosh. Then a person shouldn't drink. He should limit what he drinks. He should drink only a little bit. The fact is that Rishonim say, that Agos Maimonio says this, and the Mishnah Brura brings this down the halacha, that the whole discussion of Adalo Yada, whatever it means, is the mitzvah, but you're not mechuyev to. If you drink a little bit, you're mechayim the mitzvah, and that's it. See, it's not obligatory. So this is what the Chai Adam says. It's interesting, the Pri Chadash on Orach Chaim, he says, very interesting, he says that although Rabbi Ephraim says that there is no mitzvah of shichrus, he says, halacha is not like Rabbi Ephraim. But ato shahadoros mekulkalim, but now that the generations are not in the proper way, so one should act like Rabbi Ephraim. Even though the halacha is not Rabbi Ephraim, one should act that way. Shalolishtos el ma'at kat yoser mimasha murgal b'yantav. person should drink a small amount more than he would drink on Yontif, and that's it. No more. Because otherwise it could result in something inappropriate. So you have the warnings. It's interesting that the warnings, we're referring here to warnings of generations ago, of the Miri, of the Prichadash, of the Chayadim. Chayadim lived 200 years ago. So, but there are warnings by great people today too as well. So there's a letter that was put out by Rav Steinman a few years ago, and he wrote about the mitzvah of drinking on Purim, and he said that you can apply to drinking on Purim the pasuk of Darkei Hashem Yisharim Heim, Tzadikim Yelchu Bam Uparshim Yikashlu Bam. Mitzvahs sometimes can be abused, and when once you abuse it, it's no longer a mitzvah, it's an aver. It's a pshia. It's a terrible neglect that can result in terrible things. There's an interesting article that was written by Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb. He wrote this a few years ago. I think it was printed in the Jewish press. And the title of the article is Why I Dread Purim. As he described his experiences, the experiences he encountered with families after Purim, on Purim, after Purim. Unfortunately, there were people that died as a result of drinking. And these were the results of sincere people that thought they were doing a mitzvah. But it resulted in accidents that brought about the deaths of young people. And even without that, he describes the all sorts of decadent and inappropriate behavior that resulted from drinking, and he points out that clearly there has to be great, great caution in drinking more than moderate amounts. So we have a mitzvah. It's not obligatory. Exactly how we define the mitzvah, there is a question. And there are warnings that one ought to avoid taking any risks. Okay. But then there's a question. And this question is expressed by the Elior Rabba. The Mishnah Berurah mentions it in the Bir Halacha. And the question is, why would the Chachamim misaken such a mitzvah to begin with? And what's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of it? After all, the Torah and the Nevi'im speak in many places of the great pit, of all the pitfalls of shichras, of becoming intoxicated. This is how im tomer eich yichayvu chazal mashenisker b'torah u'nevi'im b'kamam akomos ha'shichras l'mishchol gadol. So the Torah tells us of the dangers of drinking. I mean, one just learns the parasha of Noach. So v'yesh min ayayim v'yishkar. Noach was a great person. Tzadik, tamim ayo b'dor asav. But from drinking, the terrible things happened. So the Torah speaks of the problems of drinking. And the Nevi'im speak many times about the problems of drinking. There's the pasuk in Yeshayahu where the pasuk says, V'gam eila b'yayin shagu u'vashechar ta'u. Even these, gam eila, who's the gam eila? Rashi explains it refers to what's mentioned previously in the pasuk. It refers to the yoshvei mishpat u'mashivei melchama. It refers to those that sit in judgment, the dayanim, and those that are involved in Milchamta Shaltara, these two, the Navi says, they erred because of wine and they went astray because of Shechar. So great people can go astray and commit wrongs because of drinking. And this is something the Torah tells us, this is something the Nevi'im tell us. Why is it that here the Torah, the Chazal, the Masakin, a mitzvah of Sias Yayin and of Shichus. Why would that be? So the Elio Rava answers the question. And he gives a very interesting answer. So the Elio Rava says is, if you look at the Megillah, everything happened on Yedei Mishta. In Achashverosh, Malchus, Shushan, was an environment of Mishta. Okay, there were a lot of, if you just take a cursory glance at Megillah, there were many parties. Okay, actually, how many parties were there in the Megillah? I think there were 8 parties in the Megillah. The Megillah begins with a party. So the Megillah begins with a mishnah, a party that Achashverosh set up for 180 days. 180 days is a long time. We would start partying today and continue. It would bring us into Elul. Okay, right now we're just about to start Adar Sheni. So if we would party for 180 days, it would bring us into Elul. Okay, it's a long time to party. But this is what Achashverosh, this was his malchus. It was a malchus of parties. And then that was for the Chol Sarav HaVadav. That was only for the important people. But once he was finished with 180 days of partying, then he had a mishnah, can't leave out the masses. Then he had a party for 7 days, the Chol Alma Nimtzim B'Shushana B'Yiral M'Gadol V'Atkaton, for everyone. Mishteh Shivas Yamim. So that's another party. And then the women also had to party. Gam Vashtiya Malkos Sol Mishteh Nashim. That was a third party. So the Megillah begins with three parties right away. And then when Esther was designated as the queen, so there was another party. This was a Mishteh Gadol. Vayas HaMelech Mishteh Gadol L'chol Sarav Adav Eis Mishteh Esther. This is a Mishteh HaGadol. This was a big party. The previous parties were 180 days and 7 days. That was a small party. This was a big party. Mishteh Gadol. So it's... And then what's interesting is that a very interesting party is after the decision by Haman and Achashverosh to exterminate the Jewish people, the Nishloach Svarim b'yad haratzim el kol medinos hamelech lashmid larog ulabed es kol ha-yudim minar v'ad zakein v'tafen nashim b'yom echad. Ratzim yatzu dechufim b'dvar ha-melech v'ados netno b'shushan ha-biro. What does the Megillah say right after that? One would think it's not a time to party. V'ha-melech v'ha-man yashu l'shtos. They sat down to drink. That's another party. Okay. But then, of course, we have the parties that brought about the Geula, brought about the Yeshua. Esther invites Achashverosh and Haman to a party. But at that point, she does not really ask anything, and she invites him to another party. I'll present my request. That was the seventh party. The final party in the Megillah is the party that the Jews set up, the Mishteh v'Simcha, v'Noach ba'arba osarbo, v'aso so yom Mishteh v'Simcha, the Mishteh v'Simcha, when they were saved, when they were able to rest peacefully on the 14th and on the 15th of Adar, it became a yom Mishteh v'Simcha. So we have 8 parties described in the Megillah. And because of that, al kein ha'yudim ha'prozim ha'yoshim v'ha'prozos, so we also celebrate for the Mishnah. So this is what the Eliyahu Rabbah is saying. He's saying, yes, it's true. The Torah warns us, the Nevi'im warn us, don't drink. Don't drink immoderate amounts because the consequences and the results may not be good. Purim is an exception. Why is Purim an exception? Purim is an exception because the Nisim, everything that took place in the days of Achashverosh took place on the circumstances of Mishnah, therefore on Purim we drink. It's a little peculiar. Why? So because Achashverosh was a man of Mishnah, so therefore we have to somehow imitate what he did and also have a Mishnah because he was a person that was given to Shichrus. So we have to follow that path. It's very very confusing. And what's interesting is that this is not the only situation where we find this. We could turn to the mitzvah of Arba Kosas on Leil Pesach as well. Okay? On Leil Pesach, there's a mitzvah of Sias Yayin Derech Cheiros, demonstrating Cheiros Persumen Yisa through Sias Yayin, the drinking wine in abundance for Kosas, And why Arbakosa? So there are many reasons given by Chazal why. But one of the reasons that Chazal mentioned for the Takana of Arbakosas is mentioned in the Yerushalmi of Maseches Megillah. In Yerushalmi Maseches Megillah, so the Yerushalmi says that why were the Chachamim Sakna Arbakosas? Okay. The reason is Tani Arbakosas shall Pesach Keneged Mi, Amar Bishua Ben Levi Keneged Arbakosas shall Paro. Because in the story of the Sarah Mashkim, so it's the kos is mentioned four times. The kos paro bi yadi, v'eschato sam al kos paro, v'atenas akos al kaf paro, v'nasata kos paro bi yado. So because kos is mentioned four times, so we drink four koses. What does this mean? It seems to imply that paro also created an environment of Mishnah. There was Yayin was very important in Mitzrayim. This was the paro of Yosef. But the later paros as well, apparently, Yayin is very important. We see Yom Huledes as paro. What did he do? He made a party, okay, with wine. What was he celebrating? He was celebrating himself. That's what he's celebrating. Yom Huledes paro. Not like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu also had a Mishteh. Vayas Avraham Mishteh. B'yom hig Mishteh Godol. B'yom hig Omel es Yitzchak. So Avraham Avinu made a Mishteh, a grand party, to express Shvach Vodo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pharaoh made a Mishteh to celebrate his own greatness. And because we see the significance of Yayin in Mitzrayim, we demonstrate Cheres by drinking a lot of Yayin. It's also peculiar. Why we have this common idea, both in connection with Purim and Keshwat Pesach. So why is this so? So I think that in order to understand this, we have to actually analyze the personality and behavior of Ahasuerus. And with this, I think we can understand the significance of drinking yayin. If you just look at the basic story in Megillas Esther, we see that Ahasuerus was a very impulsive person. He was driven by his momentary whims. And actually, for such a person, drinking yayin is very, very appropriate. Someone who's not interested in being motivated by his conscience, someone who's not interested in thinking about things, he just wants to do that which appeals to him, that which his impulses direct him to do, what his instincts direct him to do. Drinking yayin helps him, because yayin actually diminishes one's intellectual faculties. Yayin diminishes one's ability to judge properly. And when one is under influence of yayin, when one actually becomes a shikar, so then it just brings out what one would do impulsively and instinctively. Actually, the Gemara says, "Bishlosha dvarim adam nikar, b'koso, b'kiso, b'kaso." If you want to see what kind of a person really is, if you want to see what his inner personality really is, see how he acts when he's under influence of wine, because then he can't hide what kind of a person he is. So we see that Ahasuerus, he resorted to drinking wine. B'yom ha'shvi ketov lev ha'melech b'yayin. Ketov lev, what does it mean, ketov lev ha'melech b'yayin? What it means is he didn't have any worries. He was without concerns. He wasn't thinking at all of the repercussions of his actions. He was tov lev. So what did he do? Amar lo havias vashti ha'melech lefnei ha'melech. He was ready to abuse his queen. Why? Because he wanted to. For no other reason. He didn't give it any thought. He was tov lev. There was nothing to think about. This is what instinctively he wanted to do, and that's what he did. And when she refused, so under the influence of wine, v'yiktzov ha'melech ma'od v'chamasov aravo, he got very angry. And what did he do? he based upon the advice of his advisor, so he deposed Vashti. He removed her from her position. Why? Because he was acting impulsively. But afterwards, after it was Kishol Hamas HaMelech HaKashirosh Zacharas Vashti, then he thought about it. So his same advisor, he's advised by his advisors to find a new queen. And then how about the Gezeira against all the Jews to exterminate the Jewish people? Hashmid la'arogel abedes kol ayudim minav azaken tafen hashem b'yom echad. How could a person come to such a decree? How? The answer is because impulsively he wanted to. Instinctively he wanted to. This was on the spur of the moment he made that decision. And immediately with that decision, HaMelech v'Haman yashvu l'shtos. They sat down to drink. Why? Because shichrus removes the restraints of one's intellectual capacities. He just acted. He was a very impulsive person. And that's why he had to have an environment of mishnah. It's an environment of mishnah that allowed him to act in this way. And Esther understood exactly what kind of a person of Achashverosh was. Why did she invite him to a mishnah? Why? And just because she knew, she understood that the only way to defeat Haman was through mishnah. If for a moment Achashverosh would be enraged at Haman, for one moment, he would kill him. And that's it. And that would be the Yeshua. She had to catch the right moment. And she invited him to a mishnah. But the moment didn't come at that mishnah. She didn't feel that the proper moment was there. So what could she do? She invited him to another mishnah, Machar. And they came. At that moment, at that mishnah, she had the siyata d'shmaya to feel that now would be a moment that Achashverosh could become enraged. And this is what Esther says to Achashverosh. Ish sarvo yev haman hara hazeh. And Achashverosh reacts, v'amelech kam v'chamasom mishteh ayayin. But who actually saw further the moment to seize the moment? That was Charvona. Why is a Charvona zochor latov? He understood that the moment was ripe to say, gam hinei ha'eitz asher aso haman l'mardechai asher diber tov al ha'melech omeid v'veis haman gavoy chamisha haman v'yom ha'melech tu olav. It all took 1 minute. This was the kind of a person Achashverosh was. He had this impulsive personality. From one moment, a moment before Haman was the ruler of Achashverosh Malchus, a moment later he was dead. And Vayasar HaMelech Astabato Asher Avir Me'Haman Vayetno L'Mordechai. So how could Achashverosh agree to such an exera? He agreed to it because he was impulsive and lived in a mishnah atmosphere. So how do we react to this? How do we react to this? How do we react to the fact that Achashverosh was impulsive and his impulsive behavior could bring him to attempt to destroy the Jewish people? How do we react to the fact that Paro lived in a mishnah atmosphere and that can bring him to decide to enslave the Jewish people, to say, how do we act? Well, what do? We say, well, we're not this way. We will not act with our impulses. We have a conscience. We have intellect. We will control our impulses and our instincts. That's true. We do that. But that's just the beginning. Because the Torah tells us, So Chazal say b'shnei yitzrecha. What does it mean b'shnei yitzrecha? Chazal say b'yetzer atov v'yetzer ra. One has to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the yetzer atov and the yetzer ra. What does that mean? That means, as some explain it, that one has to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu both with his intellect and with his emotions and with his instincts. It's not enough that we're intellectually motivated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One has to not only control his impulses, one has to sanctify his impulses. That's the message of the mitzvah of tefillin. We put on tefillin keneged alev. We put on Tefillin Shorosh Keneged HaMoach, the message of the mitzvah of Tefillin is that we dedicate our emotions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We dedicate our intellect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then the intellect has to actually not only control the emotions, but has to train our emotions. It actually trains our instincts and our impulses so that we are impulsively and instinctively directed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the mitzvah of tefillin represents. The tefillin keneged halev is put on the left hand, it's put on the yad keha, on the weaker hand. And the reason is because it's not only that we have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu both with our instincts and our emotions, but our intellect, but that the intellect should train our emotions. We have to be instinctively, impulsively drawn towards serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even without considering it. Without considering it in a serious way, we have to be drawn in that direction. Of course, that's a process. That's something we have to work towards. It's not something that a person can achieve in one moment. It's not enough to act kindly, but we have to be instinctively kind. It's not enough to be dedicated to Kadosh Baruch Hu intellectually. We have to be impulsively dedicated, instinctively dedicated to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough to refrain from cruelty. We have to despise cruelty. And actually, when one drinks yayin, what it really does is it brings out his emotions. It's a display of his instincts. It's a display of his impulses. So this is generally true. But Purim is a very special day. Purim is a day that we contemplate the evil of Haman and the impulsive behavior of Ahasuerus, his willingness to go along with Haman's evil plans. What do? We commit ourselves to mold our impulses into impulses of moral behavior and compassion, into impulses of devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not just mishteh v'simcha. It's mishteh v'simcha u'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu u'matanos l'avonim. These are the crucial parts of the celebration of mishteh v'simcha. So what does it mean then? Mechayev inesh l'vsumei b'purya Adlo Yada Bein Araham Marach Mardechai. What it means is, and I saw this idea in one of Rav Sternbach's forum, and I think it's really implicit in the Lashon of the Ran in Megillah. And the Ran says, what it means, B'chayev Inish Lev Sumei, it means that when a person says, Araham Marach Mardechai, he should drink to the point when he doesn't know what he's saying. What it means is that we say on Purim, Omar Haman Baruch Mordechai. We say, Arurim Kol Arishoim, Ruchim Kol Atzadikim. It's not that we intellectually know Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai. We have to impulsively feel it. We have to instinctively feel it. A person should drink to the point where even when rationally and intellectually, he doesn't really know what he's saying. But he still says, Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, because it's part of the very fiber of his existence. The fact that we despise rishus and we love tzidkus is not because we consider it and we come to that conclusion. We say it even in a state of adlo yada, when intellectually and rationally we don't really understand the difference between Arur Haman Baruch Mordechai, but it's something we say because we emotionally, instinctively, and impulsively feel it. That's our reaction to the Nisim of Purim, to the downfall of Haman. We actually demonstrate, Purim is a demonstration that we are exactly the opposite of Ahasuerus and Haman, who were motivated by their instincts and their impulses. They didn't allow their intellect to control their impulses. They sought out mishta in order to avoid making use of their conscience. Or the opposite. Through mishta, we demonstrate that our instincts and our impulses are instincts of avas Hashem, of avas Yisrael, of love ben adam l'chavera. This is the persuma nisa of Purim, of mishta. Of course, there are risks. And this is what the Rishonim, the Me'iri, the Poskim, the Prichadash, the Achronim, the Chayadim, and present day, the Dolim and Rabbanim point out, that there are risks. And one has to, whatever one does, one has to avoid doing anything that puts himself at risk for inappropriate behavior. Because then drinking is certainly not a mitzvah. Then it would be an avera. This is the message of Purim. And when it comes to Avrakosos, we actually have a very similar idea. If we analyze the behavior of Paro, what was the behavior of Paro? This can be seen in what the Torah tells us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vani Aksha Slave Paro, Virbesias Ososai Vesmov Saiver Tesraim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will harden Paro's heart. Now, Rishonim are troubled by this. Was Paro deprived of his Bechira? So Rashi points out that to a certain extent he was, But in actuality, the first five makos, Paro hardened his own heart. It's only the later makos that the Torah says, Ve'echazek Hashem eslev Paro. The first five makos, the Torah says, Ve'echazak lev Paro. Paro's heart was hardened. He hardened his own heart. Ve'achbed eslibo. Paro hardened his own heart. But what does this mean? What does it mean that Paro hardened his heart? What does it mean for a person to harden his own heart? And how do we understand the whole idea of Vani Akshas Le Paro? We see sometimes Paro was willing to let them go, and then he changed his mind. So how do we understand? What was the hardening of his heart turned on and turned off? I think that what the Torah is telling us here is that Paro actually refused to use his intellect to control his instincts and impulses. He wanted to enslave the Jewish people. And he refused to allow his conscience and his intellect to control his instincts and his evil impulses. And this is what it means, hachbed es libo. He hardened his heart. The lay refers to his instincts, to impulses. He wouldn't let himself budge from what he wanted to do. Vayechazak leiv paro. He hardened his own heart. He didn't pay attention to his intellect. Paro was also a person of mishta, of yayin, who did not want to control that which impulsively he wanted to do. That was the evil of Paro. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because he hardened his own heart and he didn't allow any moral and ethical considerations to at all diminish his impulsive desires, his instinctive will, he did not allow that at all. He insisted on acting impulsively. Because of that, he was not allowed to intellectually overpower his impulses when it was an intellect of self-preservation. And this is the entire story of the various makos. When Paro was under pressure and under pain, for that moment, he impulsively wanted to send Klal Yisrael out. That was his immediate desire. It wasn't an intellectual decision. It was instinctive, as we see in connection with Makas Becharos. What do we see there? We see that Paro says, "Vayikrolam Moshe Aaron, Laila Vayomer Kumutz Umitochami Gamatem Gambene Israel Luchu Ivduas Hashem Kedaberchem. Go! I don't want you. I don't want to have to think about it. There was no thought there. There was an affliction of Max Bechoros. He feared his own life. He instinctively, impulsively wanted to throw them out, chase them out of Mitzrayim. That what he was allowed to do. At no point was he controlled to the point where he couldn't act instinctively. And that's why, under the pressure of certain Makos, he was willing to let them go. Because that was an instinctive, impulsive reaction. What was the hardening of Paro's heart by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He was not allowed to control his impulses. This was the punishment, midah keneged midah. He was not willing to control his impulses because of moral and ethical considerations. Hachbenas libo vayechazak leparo. So it's what became vayechazek Hashem leparo. He was not allowed to control his impulses because of self-preservation considerations. When impulsively he was ready to let them go, he was able to. But the moment it wasn't impulsive, the moment it was something he had to consider intellectually, he was not allowed to do that. And that's why soon after Klal Yisrael left, Vayugad l'melech paro ki barach ha'am. Vayafech levar paro avadav. So Paro said, what have we done? We sent them out. What do you mean, what have you done? You just sent them out because you were threatened. You were going to be destroyed. That was an impulsive reaction. But now, when they're already gone, now when he didn't feel the pressure, now he had to intellectually consider, let them go. If I bring them back, I'll be destroyed. That he was not allowed to do. The midah keneged midah was because he refused to control his instincts for moral and ethical reasons. He refused to use his intellectual capacities for moral and ethical reasons. He was not allowed to use his intellectual capacities for self-preservation reasons. And what do we do on Purim? How are we mefarsim d'nes? In the same way as we do on Purim, just as on Purim, we celebrate the fact that we strive to be so different. It's not just that we want to control our impulses. We want to make our impulses good. We want to impulsively serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just as we try to do this on Purim, by in a state of some shichrus, saying, declaring, Oro Haman Baruch Mordechai, this is our impulsive an instinctive reaction to the events of Purim, so too on Lel Pesach. What do? We drink Yayin. But what do we do when we drink Yayin? What do we say? Asher bach habonu mikolam v'romonu kol hashon. Asher golonu v'golas v'senu mimitzrayim. This is what we say when we drink Yayin. We say Birchas Hamazon. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that he provides us. We say Halal, it's shvach v'hodah. Avraham Avinu also made a mishteh gadol. He also served Yayin. But his mishteh was one that was demonstrative of emotional and instinctive devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and shvach v'hodah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nisim that he performs. We too on Purim. We celebrate Purim. We celebrate Pesach in this way, using Yayin to express our emotional devotion HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, commitment in Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChaver.